Psalm number 92 is one of the more encouraging psalms of all 150 of them. Some of the psalms are good for times of great distress. Some of them are good for times of comfort. Some of them are good for times of praise and rejoicing. This happens to be one that is always an encouragement to me. There's one verse in particular that is in this psalm that has struck me over a long period of time. I've wondered, what does that really mean? You know, you see a verse and you read it and it has a nice ring to it, but more than that, there's this question in there, what does that mean? And tonight, I want to share with you the insights that the Lord has provided. He has graciously provided some insights in this particular verse, and I want to share them with you tonight because they blessed me, and I'm glad that he continued to prick me in that area, find out what that means. I'm going to read the entire psalm, and then we'll go back and pick up this one verse in particular. And great joy comes from serving the Master. Jesus said in John 15, these things I say unto you, that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full. And what did he say? What are the things he said? He said, I desire that you bear fruit. The whole 15th chapter of the Gospel of John is the exhortation from the Master to be fruit bearers, to be branches upon which his life flows, or through which his life flows, and upon which the fruit of the nature and character of the Lord is manifest. And as we produce fruit, I've always said that this has been my deal with God. Lord, the glory be thine for anything that I might do. The glory be thine, but the joy mine. You can have all the glory. I don't want any of it. But the joy is mine. And the reason that the joy is mine is because that's the arrangement. That's the way it's set up. He's to get all the glory. He's to get all the credit. But I'm to get the joy. And there's great joy. Steve Green sings a song, that's where the joy comes from. And one of the great sources of joy in the life of a Christian is not the particular blessings that God gives us, but it is the way God uses us to be a blessing to others. There is no joy, no lasting quality of joy. There is no exhilaration of joy that I know of like there comes from being glad through the work of the Lord. And the psalmist says, thou hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great, verse 5, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man understandeth or knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. It's a temporary flourishing and a temporary springing up. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn or like the horn of a wild ox. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I thought as the Lord was ministering this to me that I really ought to hold this message for a Sunday morning, because it is on Sunday morning that we have most of our elderly folks. When I say elderly, I mean older than 30. Those folks that have reached their retirement years are generally with us on Sunday morning, but typically we don't see very many of them on Sunday evening. I guess they're resting and so on. And I thought about this particular passage. I don't want to ever forget this. I expect to come into my old age. I expect to enjoy old age. I don't expect to endure it. I expect to enjoy it. And I like what the scripture says in verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat. That means not fat physically. I don't intend to be fat, but I do intend to be prosperous. And the word fat means to be sleek and prosperous and have your needs met, and they shall flourish in their old age. I like that passage. Now, the verse I want us to zero in on tonight, the one that challenged me and has numerous times, and I'm grateful to Bill Gothard for his insights or his research team, I don't know which it is, in this area, but he provided the information that I've been looking for several years. The verse that I want to zero in on tonight is the 12th. For it says that the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Now, I know what the word flourish means. It means to grow and to spread abundantly. It means to break forth like a bud and to bloom. It means to be green and verdant. You know how the landscape looks just after a rain? We can look out over our back deck and over into the area behind us, and there are no homes back there. And it's all trees and grass and so on, and especially right after a rain. When we have a spring rain, and everything is so green, and the word verdant just describes the way it looks. It looks fresh, and it looks alive, and it just looks so filled with vitality and health. To flourish means to be that way. It means to be new, and it means to be young, and it means to prosper, and it means to be active, and it means to be alive. And the scripture says that the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Now, I learned a number of years ago that I was among the righteous. I did not become one of the righteous because I did, as my church had taught me all the while I was growing up, be good and do good, and then you'll be righteous. That is not Bible righteousness. Righteousness, according to the letter to the Hebrews, is imputed to us. Right standing with God is something that we do not earn, that we do not qualify for because we are good enough, but it is rather something that is granted to us. Paul called it in his letter to the Philippians, that righteousness which is ours by faith. And one of the great teachings that has been restored, one of the great truths that has been restored to the church in these recent years is the truth that righteousness is a condition and it is a gift from God, according once again to the book of Romans. Righteousness is God's gift. Now, if we are righteous because of our faith in Christ, and the promise is that the righteous shall flourish, that is, that they shall grow and spread abundantly, that they shall prosper, that they shall be green and alive, they shall break forth, springing forth, like the landscape does in the spring. If the righteous are to flourish like a palm tree, then I want to know something about the palm tree. That's just the way my mind works. Now, I'm not ready to deal with the fact that he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. But I have made that one of my requests. Lord, I want some information on the cedars of Lebanon. I want to know about the cedars of Lebanon because that's going to tell us how the righteous are to grow. But tonight I want to deal with how the righteous are to flourish like the palm tree. And it's just one of those verses that as you go through there, the Holy Spirit stops you. Have you ever been arrested in the Scripture by the Holy Ghost? And you're moving through and you just see something that all of a sudden it has a ring to it. Well, this particular verse has a ring to it to me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Well, that just sounds good, even though I have not known until recent weeks how a palm tree flourishes. And as I say, it's thanks to Bill Gothard and his research team for the information which I'm about to give you. The palm tree flourishes in four very specific ways. And we're going to do a little nature study tonight on the nature and character of the palm tree. If God likens his people to the palm tree, then it behooves us to know what about the palm tree is positive and how should we expect to flourish and prosper in relationship to what we see in the nature around about us. One of the things that Bill Gothard and his team have done and done very, very well is taken illustrations from God's creation to illustrate his spiritual truths. There are very many wonderful, what he calls character sketches, in two rather thick volumes, large books, called just that, character sketches. You fathers that are looking for Bible material of an interesting nature, to do with your children at home in your time of family devotions, these character sketches are truly excellent. Every once in a while, he will take one of those character sketches and publish it individually. For example, I think he's done one on the eagle. He did one that is truly outstanding on the sloth. I didn't even know that there was such an animal as a sloth, S-L-O-T-H. It gets my tongue all tied up trying to even say it. But the material from the study of that animal and then the character and nature of the slothful person is so easily seen. And in teaching, this is a very excellent means of teaching. Our Savior used it. He used the illustration of the sheep, the shepherd, the seed, the fruit. He used things from God's creation to illustrate spiritual principles. God's not some schizophrenic that has created spiritual truths in this sphere and natural truths in this one, and never the twain shall meet. The book of Romans, chapter 1, tells us very clearly that we, all of mankind, can know that God is real, and we can understand the things that are not created by observing the things that are created. And so it is a very effective teaching tool and a very effective training tool for us to examine the things in nature that and see how God made them, and then see how that relates to us in the realm of the spiritual. Now, the palm tree, I said, had four very important qualities that God has developed in the palm tree, and it is very interesting to me, and I pray it will be to you, to see those qualities and to extrapolate the truth and to compare it to the way the righteous ought to flourish. If you have a pencil and paper and want to take some notes, I'll try to give them to you, 1, 2, 3, 4, as we come to them. The first one is this. Palm trees can withstand very much abuse. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure I like that one. The righteous are to flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree is made very different from ordinary trees. I thought about having a blackboard here that I could draw some pictures for you to help illustrate this, but let me draw you some word pictures, and perhaps this will be adequate. It's pretty hard to see a blackboard on a tape anyway. The ordinary tree, from your study of it in biology and when you were studying physical science in school, you understand that an ordinary tree, the trees that most of us have contact with, have their life on the outside, but the interior is dead. The life of the tree flows from the root to the leaves just inside the bark, right up the exterior of the tree. And every year, as the tree gets larger and larger, those interior parts die. And so on the inside of a tree, you really have a dead heart, and its life is on the outside. Now, that makes it very vulnerable. For if you skin that bark, you can kill the tree. In fact, if you wring it, you can absolutely destroy it. If you take too much of that exterior bark off, if you injure it, it is very prone to be injured from the outside because its life is right next to the exterior of the tree. It is very prone to injury and very quick to die when it is abused from the outside. On the inside, its heart is dead. Its life, in other words, we talk about people this way and we say they carry their heart on their sleeve. The life of ordinary trees is contained right near the exterior. And it is very easy to abuse them, it is very easy to hurt them, and it is very easy to destroy their very life and their ability to flourish and their ability to produce fruit. You go into your yard where you've planted an apple tree and skin it all around with the lawnmower. You will not get apples. You will get a dead tree. Because ordinary trees are not able to handle those bangs and knocks and bruises. The palm tree, on the other hand, is constructed very differently. Its exterior is unaffected by abuse because its life is on the inside. The palm tree has a living heart rather than a dead heart. And that which takes its nourishment from the root to the tops to the leaves is contained deep on the inside of the tree. So you may skin a palm tree, and you may abuse a palm tree, and you may bruise a palm tree, and you may knock against it, and you may do all of these things to its exterior, but you cannot abuse its life, and you cannot diminish the quality of its fruit, because its life is hidden, as we would say, in the inner man. Now, in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to the church at Corinth in the 4th chapter, and he says these words, familiar verse, the 16th. He says, "For which cause we faint not," in other words, we quit not, we die not, we stop producing not, "but though our outward man perish, though our bark is skinned and knocked and banged and bruised, yet even though the kids carve their initials in it, yet the inward man, where our real life is renewed day by day." And so a palm tree Christian, this is what I'm going to call this message tonight, palm tree Christians. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Palm tree Christians understand that their real life is not on the outside. Their real life is not contained in how they feel. It's not contained in what they see. It is not contained in what they hear. It is not contained in what people do to them. We say sticks and stones can break my bones. A palm tree Christian can take the abuses of others. They can take the abuses of the world. They can take the abusive hits that the world throws at them. They can take the persecutions and the afflictions. And frankly, palm tree Christians can take the abuses that come at them from those they cherish the most, and that is brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's where the hardest knocks come, don't you know? And it does bruise, and it does scar, and it does wound, and it does leave its mark on the bark, but it does not destroy the person, because his life is not in what you can see. His life is in what you cannot see. His life, her life, their lives are deep on the inside, contained in the spirit of the man, where the spirit of life himself lives. The palm tree Christian does not wear his emotions or his feelings on his sleeve. Jesus, I guess, would be the very best example we have for a palm tree Christian. For his life was deep on the inside. When they nailed him to the cross, they couldn't, amen, kill his life. Hallelujah. Paul would be an excellent example of a palm tree Christian, wouldn't he? They stoned him. They let him down over a wall for dead. They beat him. He was shipwrecked. He was persecuted from without and from within. But they could not affect his life. His life was unaffected by that abuse. Palm tree Christians can take abuse without it affecting their life or the quality of the fruit that they produce. Let me say that again. A palm tree Christian can take the abuse that comes simply because he is a Christian. Don't you understand that we are persecuted for righteousness' sake? The righteous are to flourish like the palm tree, unaffected by that abuse when it comes, and no matter how much of it comes. I'll show you something else in just a few moments that I think will be illuminating to you and will bless your heart. Palm tree Christians do not die because they get externally bruised. Palm tree Christians do not die because they have been wounded in their emotions and their feelings. Palm tree Christians do not lose their life because their exterior, their flesh nature, their carnal nature, if you will, has been bruised or banged on or hit upon, because they realize that they're not living according to that old nature, that outward nature, that carnal nature, but their real life is on the inside. Their life is unaffected, and the quality, this is very important to me, the quality of their fruit is unaffected. No matter how you abuse them, you may not destroy their ability to produce fruit. They tried to kill Jesus, and they killed his bark, didn't they? The put him on the cross, and they destroyed his vulnerable exterior. But it was only vulnerable to the things and the affairs of this life. What they did they at all diminish the quality or the amount of his fruit? Did they at all diminish the quality or the degree of his life? Not at all. The righteous are to flourish like a palm tree. That's what God's intended for you and for me, beloved. Sure, you're going to get knocked. Yeah, somebody's going to come up and wring your bark. Somebody's going to draw marks all over you. Somebody's going to take a hatchet and take some nicks out of you. Sure, somebody's going to run their four-wheel drive alongside you and leave their color paint on the side of you. Of course that's going to happen. But it need not affect your life, and it need not affect the quality of your fruit. If it does, then you're living in the flesh. That's where your life is. But you see, if your life is hidden with Christ in God, like the life is hidden in the center of the palm tree, then nobody can touch it. Nobody can diminish it. Nobody can take it. And so the first quality of the palm tree is that palm trees can withstand abuse, and they can withstand very much abuse without affecting its life or its quality of fruit. The second aspect of the palm tree, and I find this one to be very interesting too. I think you will as well. Palm trees can endure storms. You always see palm trees growing along the coasts where no other tree grows. When you go to the coast, when you go to the beach, you watch it close by the ocean, you'll see palm trees, but the only other trees you will see are more shrubs. They're real low-growing, thick. But the only tall trees really sticking up there are palm trees. If you spend any time around the beach, you'll know that there's much wind and many hard storms. And you wonder how you go to a place like Hilton Head or Savannah, places like that, and you go right after there's a hurricane, and the palm trees are still. 175-mile-an-hour winds come through, the houses are down. The garages are down, the buildings are knocked down, the dikes are knocked out, the stone walls have been washed away, the sea has taken another 100 feet of beach, but the palm trees are still there. There are two qualities that palm trees have that enable them to endure storms. The first one is this. I find this very interesting. Ordinary trees have broad leaves that catch and collect the wind. They literally grab the wind as it blows through. And when the storm goes through, they reach out and grab the wind and hold it. And they try to hold so much wind that the tree of which they are a part cannot bear it, and the tree breaks. When we have windstorms around here, what is the sign of a windstorm? Broken trees and broken limbs all over the place. Isn't that what happens? The broadness of the leaf gathers the wind almost as if it wants it and holds it till the tree cannot bear it and it breaks. Palm leaves, on the other hand, are long and skinny. And the leaf, rather than grabbing the wind and collecting it, the leaf yields to the wind and the wind whistles right through it. Like when you go in the grocery store, you will see on the air conditioning vents, they will put these little thin ribbons in order to so that they can see from a distance. Some of you want, how many of you wonder why they have those on the air conditioning? Well, I won't tell you why. Nobody cares to know. But when the system is on, you can see them kind of whistling in the, not whistling, but you can see them waving in the wind. They do not collect any wind. They just let it pass right by. It moves them temporarily, but they do not grab a hold of it to the point where there's any resistance there. They just let the storm pass. Now that ought to tell you something about a palm tree Christian. Every one of us are going to have storms in our lives. And we can either grab the wind when it goes by and analyze it and understand it, and why is this happening, and we want to get the molly grubs over it, we want to jump in there and organize it and the whole thing, or we can just let it go. We just let it pass. Somebody can say something about us that is unfavorable, and we can either respond to that, get in the way of it, and make sure that it just doesn't go any further. We're going to take care of this, and it'll break us. Or we can just stand this way and let it go right on by. It'll whistle when it goes by, but when it goes on by, it will not gather enough strength, you see, in us to break us. palm tree Christians do not have leaves that collect the winds of evil reports. They are not gathering. Palm tree Christians do not gather the negative words that come their way. Palm tree Christians would be those kind through whom it goes in one ear and out the other. If you're going to flourish like a palm tree, you'll have to make a decision to not collect the winds of the storms that will come. Storms will come. You wonder why it is. You watch Christian people and you say, this person is broken by the storm and that person is seemingly strengthened by the storm. What's the difference? Is the difference in the storm? It is not in the storm. It is how we respond and how we react to the storm. And a palm tree is so made by God that it does not collect the wind. It just lets it go on by. And that's the way it is with you. In order for you to collect the wind, you have to do what's unnatural for you, because God says the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The righteous have leaves that allow the wind to just slip right through. It just like goes in one ear and out the other, and it's gone, and it has no effect. The second quality that palm trees have that enable them to endure very difficult storms is that the palm tree is made in its trunk so that it will bow over but not break. But when the storm is past, it will spring back when the winds are finished. You've watched palm trees. You've watched them in movies. I don't know if anybody ever has been in a hurricane, but I'm sure you've seen pictures of them. And you watch the palm trees. What do they do in the hurricane? They bend with the wind. They will bend all the way to the ground if necessary, but they will never break. There's a resilience in there. Jesus said something about that, I believe, in the Sermon on the Mount when he was speaking about resist not evil. If a man commands you to go 1 mile, go two. If he says, give me your coat, give him the cloak too. Agree with your adversary whilst thou art in the way. I think that is expressive of what the scripture is describing here, illustrative of how we can be like palm trees, that we are willing to bend and willing to bow. I don't mean to compromise the truth, but we are able to bend when the storms come rather than standing stiff-necked so that we crack and break. The palm tree has a willingness to humble itself under the mighty hand of God, if you will, knowing that after the storm is past, the mighty hand of God will exalt the palm tree once again, and the palm tree will stand. Right. You know that scripture from 1 Peter 5 and 6. So the second attribute of a palm tree is that it can endure storms. I believe that that is God's plan for the righteous, where he says the righteous shall flourish, prosper, grow, abundantly produce like the palm tree. That means that just because a storm comes, it doesn't render a Christian out of commission. He may temporarily be put out of commission by that storm because he bends, but he refuses to break. He refuses to faint. He refuses to quit. He refuses to let go of his roots. He refuses to break. He refuses to put himself in a situation where he can be broken, where he can be rendered lifeless, so that when the storm is over, he springs back. The storm's gone. There's the palm tree, still alive and still able to produce fruit. I believe it is the quality of humility, the quality of submission to God. Much of what God has been teaching us in the last year has to deal with this particular principle. As we've been studying through the book of Job, as we completed that study on Wednesday night recently, and many other areas of the scripture where God's been dealing with us on this in this area, dealing with distress and tribulation and so on, and how we are to react to that kind of thing and how we're to deal with it. And I believe there's a very important message here in the nature and character of the palm tree. The third attribute of the palm tree is also very illuminating. Palm trees can survive great drought, and palm trees are able to live where no other tree and exist. Palm trees, there's something interesting about the root of the palm tree as compared to ordinary trees. most trees have roots that go out, first of all, very close to the surface, with the exception of one taproot that goes straight down. You dig up most trees, you will find that you have a taproot going straight down, and then you have most of the rest of the roots in the surface. If you have oak trees in your yard, you know how difficult it is to get grass to grow under those oak trees. The reason is the tree is getting all of the nourishment from the surface there, taking it all away. Also, ordinary trees have most of their root strength close to the trunk. And if you dig up an ordinary tree and you watch it, the trees get the roots get progressively finer the further away you get from the tree. Now, palm tree roots are very different. First of all, palm tree roots are the same size at the trunk of the tree and all the way to the extremity. Each root is strong and thick. The second thing that's interesting about palm tree roots is that they send their roots, not just one taproot, but they send all of their roots deep into the ground. And so palm trees, because of the way they are rooted, palm trees are not easily pulled up. You can't jerk them up. And secondly, they are able to tap into resources that ordinary trees cannot reach. And in a time of great lack, where there is no water, where there is no nourishment, and so on, palm trees are able to get nourishment from places where ordinary trees can't get them. And so ordinary trees will have died and been long gone when the palm tree is still flourishing. I don't think I need to say a great deal about that and how that relates to Christians, but one of the things that I'd like to say is this. I'll probably say several more, but one, you know, I think I have one thing to say to Morgan. But there is this one thing. And that is that Christians have more than one root into the things of God. Palm tree Christians have more than I got saved. They got more roots than just one. They have more ways to get nourishment from God than just one. They are not satisfied to just come into the kingdom of God, get their sins washed away, and get forgiven. That's not enough. They want more. And so they'll send out another root, and they'll send out another one, and they'll send out another one. And I see that God wants this for me, and so I'm going to develop in this area. And I see God has promised this for me, and I'm going to develop in this area. And I see that God's meeting my needs over here because of what Jesus did. And they send out a root over here, and they send down a root over here, and they send down a root over here. And they're not satisfied, palm tree Christians are not, to send out little puny roots, hair roots. They're going to send down thick, fat roots, and they're going to send them down deep. When you try to get a hold of a palm tree Christian and jerk him up out of the kingdom of God, he will not move. You might bend him above the ground because you have more strength, but you will not uproot him. You'll not pull him out because he knows in whom he has believed and trusted, and he knows that his God is able to supply his needs. And when times are thin and pickings are short, he will have a source. He'll have his hope anchored in behind the veil, as it were, as the writer to the Hebrews says, and he will be able to draw thirst-quenching living water from the river of God, and he will be able to draw nourishing food. A palm tree Christian is the kind of Christian that will not die of starvation or thirst if the church closes. Amen. Amen. Close all the churches in Douglas County. You'll find out how many palm tree Christians you have and how many ordinary ones you have. I believe this church is filled with palm tree Christians because I know you know where to get the goods. You can get the goods. And if your Bibles were taken away from you, your roots, you've got enough roots down in the things of God that God could bring back to your remembrance the word that you've already hidden in your heart. And if you put all of you together over a period of time, you could put most of this book back together on paper again. That's a palm tree Christian, and that's a Christian that is going to flourish, going to grow, no matter whether it be a drought or not. Amen. Send out poetry, Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. What happens to most Christians when the pastor leaves? They just shrink up and die. Just shrink up and die. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. My good God Almighty. What good is it if you have it tied up in the pasture? You must have thick roots that are thick at the trunk and thick all the way down, and you've got to have lots of them. And they've got to go down all the way around. If you've ever been around a palm tree, you have seen those roots come out of the palm. They all come all the way around, these thick tuber-like roots, all the way around and all underneath and go down. Have you ever tried to pull one of those things up, pull a young one up? It's very unlike the kinds of deciduous plants that we're accustomed to seeing. These are the leaves. They're like a palm leaf. Remember we were talking about the palm leaf before? Notice that thin little leaf and how that works? So palm trees can survive. This is a good nature study, isn't it? What did the pastor preach on last night? Well, he gave us a biology lesson. Did you get anything out of it? I don't know, but he sure enjoyed himself. Amen. Palm trees can survive drought, and they can survive times of great lack and great loss. I believe that the capstone on a man's ministry is not what's going on while he's there. I believe the capstone on his ministry is what goes on in that place when he's gone and what he's left behind. I think that's the key indicator, the key element. I want all of us, anyone over whom I have influence, with whom I have effect, I want us all to be palm tree Christians. Do you understand why the Spirit of the Lord quickened this passage to me? The righteous must flourish or shall flourish. That's his promise. Listen, if we don't flourish like palm trees, it's not his fault, it's ours. He said the righteous shall flourish. He didn't say we might. He didn't say some would. He said the righteous shall flourish like palm trees. It is our right and our inheritance to flourish in the things of God, to be spiritually green. And by green, I don't mean immature. I mean verdant. And I mean spreading forth abundantly. It is our right and our place to be that kind of Christian. We are to survive the drought. There are times, let me say this also, beloved. There are times in the way God does things, the Spirit of God moves in waves. How many of you know that? The Spirit of the Lord is very like Jesus likened him to a wind. And if you've ever been in a wind, you know that the wind does not blow at a constant intensity. You'll get a blow and then you get a lull. And then you get a blow and you get a lull. And you get a blow and you get a lull. And you get a little more and you get a little less. And it's very much like waves. That's the way the Spirit of the Lord does things. Now, there are a lot of Christians that are on fire for Christ when the wind of His Spirit is whoo, really blowing. And they would be great for God and on fire for God as long as they were in the upper room the day that the wind came through and the tongues of fire. But sometime later, when they were hailed before the judges and hailed before the councils, and sometime later when perhaps the breeze of the Spirit of God was not blowing as hard as at other times, and it was not as easy to stand for Christ, and it wasn't as exhilarating, and it wasn't as exciting, they will dry up. Because they were supported entirely by the breath of God and had no root in themselves. Palm tree Christians may come into the kingdom. I really believe this is the kind of where we are right now. A lot of us came into the kingdom when the breath of God was blowing real strong. And then all of a sudden it didn't blow as hard. The wind didn't blow as hard. You wonder what's wrong. And some folks fall right off the edge. Because it doesn't excite them enough. Not enough good things are happening. That's like a drought. That's like a drought. And unless you have your roots down deep into the things of God, you will dry up, wither, and die in that kind of an environment. Palm tree Christians are able to win souls, pray for the sick and see them healed, preach the gospel, witness to other people, comfort those that are in need of comfort, minister to those that are in need of ministry, whether the wind is blowing or whether it's not blowing, whether there's a gale of the Spirit of God going forth or whether there is just a mere breeze. Palm trees can survive that kind of time. If you're going to last, Jesus said, those that see me are the ones that endure to the end. if you're going to endure to the end, I can guarantee you that unless you figure you're going to check out in the next couple of days, that you're going to have to endure some times of drought. Sometimes in our own personal prayer life, it gets so, have you ever experienced this? It just gets so dry. You think maybe God went on vacation. He's down in a Bimini somewhere and you just can't reach him. Or maybe he's over. You hear about there's great revival in Africa. And you say, well, he's over there looking after his business. That's why I can't reach him. There are times like that. We do experience times like that. There are dry times. Sometimes you go to prayer and it's wonderful. You begin to pray and boom, you get this rushing, roaring torrent that comes forth. The next time you go to pray, you just pray and you pray and you pray, and it's like a well driller drilling a dry hole. Palm tree Christians will flourish whether you got a rushing torrent or whether you got a dry hole. Amen. The fourth attribute of the palm tree is the one I like the most. Let me give you the principle and then I'll talk about it. The older a palm tree grows, the sweeter its fruit becomes. Ordinary trees are quite the opposite. In ordinary trees, that which is desired is youth. Ordinary fruit trees diminish their yield. You get an old apple tree, and it gives you fewer apples, and it gives you smaller apples, and it gives you a lower quality apple. How do you know that, Pastor? Because we got a bunch of them out here on the church property here. And old apple trees have to be cut down after a while because they have a limited life. The young tree, when it begins to bear in its early bearing years, this is when it is the most profitable and the most able in its fruit production. On the other hand, palm trees do not even produce their first fruit, oftentimes for a long time. Sometimes it takes palm trees 50 years or more to mature before you get any fruit. Hallelujah. I'm going to start bearing in 2 more years. Glory. Glory. Stand back. Stand back. To you, I'm the 50-year variety. You know, over in Psalm 1, it says about the tree that's planted by the living water who will bring forth its fruit in what? In its season. You can plant, I could say you, I don't say everybody does, but you can plant an apple tree in a few years, you can get apples. I can't, of course. I plant it 10 years later, I'm still getting leaves, you know. But typically, if you put in a fruit tree, you'll get some fruit, you know, in a few years. Palm trees rarely produce that soon. It takes a much longer investment to get fruit out of a palm tree. There's much more waiting. It requires a substantially more patience because palm trees take a lot longer to mature. And when they mature, sometimes many, many, many years, when the palm tree matures and it begins to produce its fruit, the older the palm tree is, the sweeter is the fruit that comes from it. Now, in our society, we tend to exalt youth. We exalt the sleek, smooth bodies of the young, and we dislike the wrinkled, scarred, banged up, bruised, and marked bodies of the old. But in the sphere of the palm tree, it is the palm tree with the bruised and scarred trunk that gives the sweetest fruit. The older the tree is, the more it has endured, the more it has stood against, and the more it shows its age by its scars and its wrinkles, the sweeter is its fruit. Now that is very easily related, isn't it, to us? And particularly to the verse that I shared before from Psalm 92, verse 13 and 14. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in what? Old age. And the fruit that comes forth from the aged palm tree is the better fruit. When you look at the palm tree that has the sleek trunk, the smooth and youthful look, it is a tree that either will not produce, or when it does produce, it does not produce the kind of sweetness that you're anticipating. But you go to the tree that looks scarred, the one that has endured, the one that has stood, the one that has taken the storms, the one that has stood through the drought, the one that has stood the abuse, the one that's been carved in, the one that's been marked in, the one that's been banged on, the one that's been hurt, the one that's been wounded. That's the one whose fruit you want to pick, because that's where you'll get the sweetest fruit. So it is in the lives of Christians. Isn't it true that we just come into the kingdom of God? We're 2 days old in the kingdom of God, and we think our fruit is so wonderful. The longer we live and the more that we endure and the tougher we stand, the more licks we take, the more bangs we have to stand, it produces a quality in that inner man. It produces the quality of humility. It produces the quality of meekness. It produces the quality of long-suffering and patience. It produces goodness and gentleness and kindness. It produces perseverance and steadfastness and long-suffering and constancy. It produces selflessness. It produces temperance and self-control. It produces qualities that cannot be produced any other way. They are produced only with age. And they're produced only with trial. They don't come any other way. Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9, we're told, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he learned he to produce the fruit of the Spirit by the scars that were placed on his body and his emotions and his feelings. Palm tree Christians are those who have endured, those who have stood for ageless years, who are developed in their faith. One of the things that was such a great encouragement to me when I first came into the kingdom, I was 37 years old. I'd been a Christian a few weeks, a few months, a few years. And one of the greatest blessings that would come my way is when I would meet somebody who'd been a Christian for 40 years, 50 years, 70 years, and still going strong. Oh, I can't tell you what that did to my spirit, to my heart. As I thought at that age, and had been a Christian such a short time, my great fear was that I would do something to screw it up. Have you ever felt that way? That I would do something that would cause me to lose what I had. The Scripture says, hold fast. Well, I knew that before I ever knew the Scripture said it. I made a deal with God right early. Lord, don't you ever let me fall away. Don't you ever let me slip out of your grasp. You don't ever let me do anything. I don't care what it takes, what you have to do. You don't ever allow me to do anything that would separate me from you. Once I've found you, I don't ever want to leave, and I don't ever want to get in the kind of a situation where that would happen to me. We'd have our little prayer meetings, and some little old lady would come. She'd come and sit down, her face would be all aglow. I remember going to the Joyful Noise one night. Eva Mae Lefevre was there. How many of you know the name Lefevre? The Lefevres don't have a singing group anymore, but they did for many years, a spirit-filled singing group that went around all over the country. Marlon Lefevre, who's up at Mount Perrin, was out of that group. He's one of the children from that family, who left the gospel music, went into rock and roll, and then came back into Christian music in the contemporary end of it. But at the Joyful Noise that night, I forget who was ministering. But Eva Mae Lefevre, I'm not sure how her name is pronounced, all of those that she used to sing with, her husband, Alf, I think his name was. Is that right? Was it Alf? Alphus? Something like that. Unusual name. But all the Lefevres were dead except Eva Mae. And she was associated, I think she may still be with the Joyful Noise. I think she may organize trips or something, cruises and things like that. And Bill Flory asked her to get up on the platform and just share a few words and sing a song. Well, she stood up on the platform and she just opened her mouth. I don't even know what she said, but the well inside me burst. Because I was looking at so much Jesus. I was looking at a palm tree Christian, I know. There was so much Jesus in her. She was just absolutely unpretentious. absolutely unself-conscious. There wasn't anything particularly spiritual about what she was saying or doing. But she was obviously a woman who had been bruised and scarred and abused and had obviously been through many of the things that we're discussing here tonight. But the fruit, you could feel it in the spirit. The fruit that was coming forth from that woman was so sweet. Sometimes I go to the grocery store and I buy me a pineapple. Take it home, cut the pineapple up, and take a bite of it. Looks so good on the outside, but it is so... I mean, just pucker you. You know what I'm talking about. Some Christians are like that. Then you'll go, and you'll buy a pineapple and take it home. You take a slice off, take a bite, and you're all puckered up, ready to go like this. Mmm. Ooh, delicious. I bought some apricots. Oh, they looked wonderful. They were smooth and shiny and, oh, they just looked wonderful. I should have known because they were so hard and solid. And I took that apricot, hadn't seen them in the store, hadn't had one in a long time, and put that apricot to my mouth and, it soured everything else that was in the bowl. I had some other things in it. It soured everything else. Last week, I bought some more apricots. But this time, I felt them with my hand. And I felt they were a little softer. I saw they were a little, they weren't as shiny and glossy. And they even were a little marked. You could kind of feel, take them home and eat them, and they were sweet. There's a wonderful, wonderful truth here in the fact that the palm tree, God has made the palm tree, the older it grows, we live in a society. I'm not saying this because I'm, moving into the second half of my life, you kids. And I'm not trying to make a place for us older folks, elderly people, because I surely don't feel that way. I mean, I don't feel any older than I felt at 30. I really don't. But I believe our society has made a great error in worshiping youth. And not honoring the benefits of age. The hoary head, the scripture says, is glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. I'm so glad that as a church, we have some older folks in our congregation. I'm glad of that. I treasure those elderly people, even though many of them we don't see very much, we don't hear very much from them. I'm glad to know they're here, that they feel comfortable here. That gives me a certain sense of security. I don't know how to explain it to you, but I look out on Sunday morning and I see gray heads, and I feel good about that. Most people who come into our church say, oh, what a wonderful church you have. You have so many young couples and so many kids. I think that's grand too. But a church ought to be all ages. It ought to be all colors. It ought to be all economic backgrounds. The doctors ought to be able to fellowship with the hod carriers. The blacks with the whites and the men with the women and the boys and the girls and the old and the young. There ought to be any generation gap in the kingdom of God. And I believe it's a great tragedy that we put so much expectation, admiration, and reverence upon the young. What we're dealing with there is strictly carnality. It's because the young can run 4-minute miles. It's because they can throw 70-yard passes. And because they can have babies. I'm not demeaning the young either. You know that. But we had better learn a reverence for our older folks. Especially is it incumbent upon us as I approach that time in my life. God didn't make no dummy. But, a little bit of fun goes along. But I'm serious about what I'm saying. I'm very serious about it. We have a society that as we flee our families, the older I get, the more I treasure my mother and father, the more I treasure their just as people, not just as mom and dad, just as people. The more I treasure their wisdom, the more I treasure the quality of their love, the more I treasure the fruit that comes forth from those lives. the more I envy in a good sense. I'm provoked in a positive way by what I see in the lives of our older folks. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree can withstand great abuse. The palm tree can endure very great storms. The palm tree can survive drought and deprivation and times of need and lack. The palm tree, the older it grows, the sweeter its fruit becomes. I'm indebted to the Spirit of God for bringing that revelation. I want to breathe in my spirit out of that passage. I want to breathe out of my spirit. I'm satisfied now. I know what that means. So we'll go to work on the cedars of Lebanon. Amen. Would you like to stand with me, please?